tuned in on the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on Tuesday, November the 5th, 2013. First up in the news, I'm going to present the Harper's Weekly Review, but stay tuned for an important article later about the NSA. So in today's Harper Weekly Review, dated November 5th, 2013, Syria finished destroying its chemical weapons production and mixing facilities, and the World Health Organization confirmed the country's first polio cases since 1999 and warned that the rapid migration prompted by its civil war would likely cause the disease to spread. A United Nations official announced plans to convert Jordan's largest camp for Syrian refugees into a fully functioning city. "At the beginning, we counted our exile in months," said Khaled Zoabi, a refugee interviewed at a men's social club, "now maybe decades." In Beijing, three men suspected of being Xinjiang separatists crashed an SUV outside the gates to the Forbidden City, killing themselves and two tourists. And in North Waziristan, an American drone strike killed Hakimullah Massoud, the leader of the Pakistani Taliban. Draconian prevention of violent terrorist attacks is part of the mission in maintaining order, said Communist Party Secretary Guo Jinlong. "Every drop of Hakimullah's blood will turn into a suicide bomber," said a Taliban spokesman. An Italian newspaper reported that Russia had given world leaders attending the G20 summit in St. Petersburg earlier this autumn USB drives and mobile phone chargers designed to download their communications. U.S. National Security Agency Director Keith Anderson claimed that European spy agencies had collected and shared with the NSA the phone records of millions of European citizens. "I am persuaded," said Russia's foreign minister, "that everyone knew everything." Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden published a manifesto for the truth in a German news magazine and started a tech support job at a Russian internet company. Forbes magazine named Vladimir Putin the most powerful person in the world. The judges presiding over the trials for inciting deadly violence of deposed Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi and other members of the Muslim Brotherhood stepped down after state security agencies refused to allow the defendants in the courtroom. A federal appeals court blocked an order requiring an independent monitor to oversee the New York Police Department's stop-and-frisk program and removed from the case the judge who had ruled that the program violated the civil rights of minorities. Wow. Students at Brown University booed New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly off the stage before he could begin a lecture on proactive policing. Nevada Assemblyman Jim Wheeler apologized to anyone offended by his assertion that he would vote to institute slavery if asked to do so by his constituents. "That's what a republic is about," said Wheeler. "You can live with the consequences." Oh, man. A 23-year-old man carrying an assault rifle shot and killed a behavior detection officer for the Transportation Security Administration at the Los Angeles International Airport, and a woman was arrested for attempting to smuggle three pumpkins filled with cocaine into Montreal from Haiti. Trick-or-treaters in Casper, Wyoming, discovered condoms among their candy. Irwindale, California, filed a complaint against a hot sauce factory whose odor it claimed was causing headaches. Dell offered replacement laptops to customers who had complained that their computers smelled of cat urine, and emergency crews hospitalized 8 New York City students after responding to a complaint of hazardous fumes that turned out to have been from another student's Axe body spray. In Syria, a member of the punk band Pussy Riot went missing while being transferred between penal colonies. Edward Bruce Johnson was arrested in Florida after smoking a crack pipe filled with Cialis. The journal Sex Roles published a study finding that both men and women spend more time looking at women's bodies than at their faces. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services removed a photograph of a woman's face from the welcome page for healthcare.gov, and Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius apologized before Congress for the flawed launch of the website, but said that it was nevertheless functional. The website never crashed, said Sebelius, at roughly the same time site users began receiving a message telling them it was down. The Federal Aviation Administration revised its rules to allow airplane passengers to use electronic devices during takeoff and landing. A California motorist was given a ticket for driving while wearing Google Glass, and an Arizona truck driver who struck a police officer was reported to have been viewing photographs of prostitutes on his cell phone. A third of Jewish children responding to a survey said their parents pay too much attention to their smartphones, and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that parents limit teenagers' access to smartphones in their bedrooms. If you have a 14-year-old boy and he has an internet connection in his bedroom, he is looking at pornography, said the policy's lead author. An Ohio grand jury declined to press charges against a couple whose public sex act was photographed and posted on social media. "We should behave," said the county's prosecutor, "as if our family is always watching." This article written by Jacob Z. Gross. And I should add here that you too could get this article in your mailbox every Tuesday morning if you just go to harpers.org and subscribe. And now, this other article that I mentioned before, I found in The Guardian. This is dated Monday, November the 4th. Google Chairman, NSA spying on our data centers, outrageous. Eric Schmidt says company has lodged complaints with NSA, White House, and Congress as criticism hardens in Silicon Valley. Eric Schmidt, the executive chairman of Google, has attacked the U.S. government for apparently breaking into the connections that link the company's data centers around the world as outrageous and described other surveillance practices as possibly illegal. Speaking at an event in Hong Kong, Schmidt stepped up the company's response to revelations in the Washington Post that the National Security Agency, working with its British counterpart, GCHQ, had broken into the optic cables that carry the transfer of data around the world for Google and Yahoo. "It's really outrageous that the National Security Agency was looking between the Google data centers, if that's true," Google told the Wall Street Journal. "The steps that the organization was willing to do without good judgment to pursue its mission and potentially violate people's privacy. It's not okay." The comments reflected Silicon Valley's hardening criticism of government snooping amid continued revelations based on documents leaked by the former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Just 2 months ago, Schmidt declined to pass judgment on their surveillance programs. But last week it was reported that the NSA intercepted communications links used by Google and Yahoo to move vast amounts of data between overseas data centers. On Monday, the Washington Post published further Snowden documents and additional context for its story. Among the details published in the latest report is the claim the interception took place on British territory. It also claimed that none of the statements issued by the NSA since the story was published contained substantive denials. It said the source documents showed the NSA, rather than break directly into Google or Yahoo data centers, intercepted communication between them that ran on private fiber optic cable circuits. The former is known as data at rest, the latter as data on the fly. It was clear spies broke into both companies' private clouds or internal networks, said the report, because some of the extracted data existed nowhere else. It remained unclear how the NSA did this and whether it had help from inside the technology giants. Asked if it had launched an internal security review, Google on Monday reissued a statement given last week from Chief Legal Officer David Drummond, saying the company did not give access to its systems to any government and that it was expanding encryption across more Google services and links. In his interview, Schmidt said Google had lodged complaints with the NSA, the White House, and members of Congress. He also attacked the separate NSA program that sweeps up the telephone metadata relating millions of Americans. The NSA allegedly collected the phone records of 320 million people in order to identify roughly 300 people who might be a risk. It's not just bad public policy, and perhaps illegal, he said. Google itself has faced repeated accusations of privacy violations, including illicitly tracking web browsing. Schmidt had made no secret that the company tests boundaries of what is acceptable. Google policy is to get right up to the creepy line and not cross it, he said in 2010. Outcries in Europe and growing momentum in Washington to rein in surveillance has put the NSA on the defensive. Asked to respond to Schmidt's criticism, an NSA spokesperson said the agency was focused on valid foreign intelligence targets and referred to a previous statement that press articles had misstated facts and mischaracterized NSA activities. NSA conducts all of its activities in accordance with applicable laws, regulations, and policies, and assertions to the contrary do a grave disservice to the nation, its allies and partners, and the men and women who make up the National Security Agency. Last week, the agency's director, General Keith Alexander, said the agency had not used a presidential order to circumvent domestic legal restrictions. I can tell you factually, we do not have access to Google servers, Yahoo servers. We go through a court order. Yeah, okay, well, and that's all I have for the news this week, ladies and gentlemen. So please be good to one another in the coming week and stay out of the news.